I want to tell you a story today about two mountains. The first one is one that most of us all know, and that's Mount Everest. It is Earth's highest mountain above sea level. It's about 8,849 metres. The first person who got to the top of that was Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. And that was in 1953. Since then, thousands of people have tried to scale that mountain. And they generally have to use oxygen. And it is an absolutely grueling task to get to the top of that mountain. And that's possibly why hundreds of people have died. The other mountain that I want to talk to you about is called Mount Warning. That's a much smaller mountain. It's in New South Wales in Australia, and it is about 1/7 the height of Mount Everest. I've climbed that mountain. You don't need oxygen to do it. I did it with a mate, and we huffed and puffed our way to the top and took a look at the gorgeous view and drank a cup of iced tea and then made our way down. It's not death-defying. It's just it's a good workout, basically. Now, if I was to go up and back, up and back, up and back, Mount Warning, if I did that 7 times, I would be approximately climbing 8,849 metres. But it's certainly nothing like the danger of going to the heights of Mount Everest. And that's got to do with the thinning atmosphere and the incredible dangers that you face by climbing a massive mountain. So, do you think that's the same thing? Like, I don't think it's the same thing to go, okay, I've climbed Mount Warning 7 times, so I've climbed about Mount Everest, because it's a completely different thing, isn't it, really? I think we all know that. Now, the reason I want to talk to you about that is because with the Wegovy dosage trial, they have to do dosage trials for every new drug that comes onto the market. What they did, instead of giving a 2.4 milligram dose, which is how Wegovy comes, instead of giving that in one injection once a week and then maybe testing a few other amounts over a once weekly dosage, they didn't do that. They gave it as a daily dose. They gave a smaller amount as a daily dose. So I don't think that's the same thing. In fact, it's nowhere near the same thing in my mind. And I wondered how the hell the pharma company got away with it. And why the hell did the government regulators accept that as the dosage trial? So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about that completely shocking dosage trial. This is Investigating Ozempic, and I'm Byrne. Welcome. I've said all the way along that this podcast is like a jigsaw puzzle. And it's not a junior one. It's a pretty tricky, complicated one. But once you've got all the pieces, it's quite easy to see the picture. So I'm going to run through what we've seen so far. And I've got about 10 pieces. The first piece is the obesity epidemic. We have a large obesity epidemic. I don't think anyone disputes that. The second puzzle piece is we've got these new weight loss drugs, or relatively new weight loss drugs. The third piece is government regulators and how they are now in the pocket of drug companies. The fourth piece is the goals of the two CEOs of Novo Nordisk and how they differ. The fifth piece is the stock price of Novo Nordisk and the pressure to keep that stock price high. The sixth puzzle piece is about the history of the GLP-1s. We look back in time at that. The seventh puzzle piece, which we looked at last week, were the Ozempic clinical trials and what scientists had said at the time. The eighth puzzle piece was hiding clinical trial results, how drug companies can conduct trials yet not post results or even post these trials. So we can't see a fully complete picture or fully transparent picture of what has happened in the development of a drug. The ninth puzzle piece is the fact that drug companies want a blockbuster drug. They want a billion-dollar blockbuster drug. And then the 10th puzzle piece, which we looked at last week, was the recommendation from extremely senior Danish scientist to possibly give daily dosages for weight loss. Now, this conflicts with the fact that we have Wegovy, which comes in a weekly dosage. We're going to talk today about what happened with that recommendation by the scientists to give a daily dose. And we're also going to delve a little bit into the Wegovy clinical trials. But really, the best thing to do if you're a new listener to this podcast is to go back and start at the beginning. And I think you'll get a really clear picture of it if you just take the time and go back and have a listen. All right. This is episode 5. What the fuck, Wegovy? When I first started doing research for my book, for my fifth book, and I was looking up into Wegovy and Ozempic, I remember coming across this dosage trial for Wegovy. And I was absolutely stunned at what it said. This dose-finding trial was paid for and conducted by Novo Nordisk, the Danish drug company who owns the patents for Wegovy and Ozempic. They do dose-finding studies for every drug. They try and figure out which is the best dose to move ahead with. The initial dose-finding study for Wegovy was completed on 12th of April 2017. It was a 52-week trial, so I estimated it may have started in April 2016, which is about a year earlier. So a dose-finding study is one that works out the safest dose to move forward with when developing a new drug, and it's critically important. What I saw in that trial blew my mind. Instead of using a weekly injection, which is how both Ozempic and Wegovy are required to be administered, this dose-finding study for Wegovy used a low daily injection on the 65% of women participating in the trial, with the maximum daily dosage being a 0.4 milligram injection. Now, I don't know how Novo Nordisk got away with giving these low daily dosages for a dose-finding trial, because no one on the planet is injecting Wegovy daily. It is directed to be a weekly injection of 1.7 milligrams or 2.4 milligrams. Equated it to trying to eat a whole cheesecake in one sitting or cutting it into 7 pieces and eating one tasty piece a day. It's basically a very different experience. The European Medicines Agency, EMA, which is like Europe's FDA, in their assessment of Wegovy's dose-finding study, they questioned this daily injection choice for the trial, with Novo Nordisk giving them the excuse that they thought that giving this daily dose might help reduce gastric side effects. So this gave me a big heads up about what Novo Nordisk were actually worried about, and that's the gastric side effects of a larger dose. So then I happened to stumble across a clinical trial from 2015. It had no results posted on the clinicaltrials.gov website and on the usually flawless Novo Nordisk Find a Clinical Trial website. It had spelling mistakes in the title, calling semaglutide tosemaglutide, which made this trial nearly impossible to find. It's like calling Gucci Poochie. I only opened it because I wondered what the hell tosemaglutide was. In short, the trial, paid for and conducted by Novo Nordisk in Germany, had tested over 17 weeks and found that giving a once daily dose of semaglutide resulted in less side effects with less severity of events, of adverse events, which is the same as a side effect, and less gastrointestinal events compared to giving a weekly dose. The trial was completed in April 2016, and I could see that the initiation date on this trial was 23rd of September 2015, and the official Wegovy dose-finding study that was submitted to the FDA was conveniently initiated on the 1st of October 2015. Literally 1 week later. My opinion is that Novo Nordisk, I think they knew that daily dosing would show fewer side effects and possibly enable Novo Nordisk to obtain a higher dosage approval from the FDA if they accepted the daily dosing schedule. So this daily dose finding trial was very different to Ozempic's 2009 dose-finding study. They had injected weekly. Remember, both these drugs are the same. They're semaglutide, and they get injected weekly. So this daily dosage thing seems to me pretty dodgy. And I don't know if you remember, but back in the Ozempic dosage trial, when they tested a 1.6 milligram weekly dose, which was escalated over 2 weeks, the result was 93.6% of people suffered from side effects, plus 11% of the people dropped out of the trial because of gastrointestinal issues that were too severe. This led to that 1.6 milligram dosage at the time being dumped. When I looked at the Wegovy dose-finding trial, which started in 2015 and finished in 2017, I can see that they tested 7 different daily injections. And if I look at the first injection, which is a 0.05 milligram per day injection, in that group they had 103 people and they were mostly female. 67 of them were female and 36 of them were male. The average weight of a person in that group was 111 kilos. That's quite different to the Ozempic trials. The Ozempic trials, they used people who were a much lower weight. We talked about this weight issue earlier. Basically, if you use heavier people in a clinical trial for weight loss, generally you will see more weight loss. There's also a consensus that women tend to lose weight faster than men. So that's why you see 2/3 of the people in that group who are female. They're using more females because they know they're going to lose more weight. They're using heavier females because, again, they're going to lose more weight. Now, in that group, 11 dropped out. And when I looked at the reported adverse events for that group, it tells me that 80.58% of them reported adverse events. There were another 12.62% that reported serious adverse events. Serious adverse events were ones that you need to be hospitalized for. When they calculate these percentages, you would think that they would deduct the 11 people that dropped out of the trial and go, okay, rather than 103 people, we've now got 92 and we're going to have to work out the percentage there. But no, that's not what happened. What they do to work out that 80.58% is they still use the 103 number to calculate it. If they had used the 92 number, which is the amount of people left at the end in that group, they would have ended up with a percentage of adverse events of 90.21% and serious adverse events of 14.13%. Now, I'm not sure if this is standard clinical trial practice that they disregard how many people drop out and just calculate it from the original number, but, you know, something seems NQR, not quite right with that. I think it just seems to me that it might possibly be more accurate if you took out the number of people that had dropped out rather than calculating it on a higher number so that you get a lower percentage. It's a 10% difference, which just seems sus to me. It doesn't say, however, when those 11 people dropped out of the trial. I don't know when they dropped out. It's possible they dropped out in the first week, possible they dropped out in the, 52nd week. I don't know. Just to clarify something that I said a minute ago, I said that women tend to lose weight faster than men. In general, if you're not using a GLP-1, men tend to lose weight faster. But when using a GLP-1, women tend to lose a higher percentage of body weight than men. That's the difference. The end result for Wegovy was that Novo Nordisk used this daily injection method and an equation based on using population pharmacokinetic PK modelling to tell government regulators, such as the FDA, that a dose of 2.4 milligram should be okay for Wegovy. Now, these equations do have their problems and have estimated incorrectly in the past when calculating dosage. I reached out to the FDA, who told me that according to a tiny footnote in their Wegovy drug evaluation report, that the division did not object to the applicant's proposal for the phase 3 dose regimen at the time of the end of phase 2 meeting. Although, because the 2.4 milligram weekly dosage was not evaluated in a phase 2 dose ranging trial, the company was reminded that there was some risk in dose selection. No shit. They then encouraged me to reach out to my health professional if I had further questions, which is problematic because my doctor did not approve Wegovy to be used by millions of people at higher dosages. The FDA did. Despite all this dodgy behaviour, Wegovy achieved approval in multiple countries at the higher 2.4 milligram dosage by government regulators, such as the FDA, who, as we know, are primarily funded by Big Pharma through fees and payments. There was a statement made in 2019. It was included in an extensive review of GLP-1s, and there were 20 scientists from around the world that were summing up GLP-1s. And I'm just going to quote here for a minute. It says that higher dosages of GLP-1 can achieve clinically relevant weight loss, and greater increases in dose levels, in theory, can drive more weight-lowering efficiency. However, adverse gastrointestinal effects generally preclude the use of higher doses. That's another way of saying that even with slowly introducing the semaglutide drug into the body in stages, it's not worth the many side effects of a large dose. This made me wonder about how Wegovy got approved at the higher dosages of 2.4 milligrams, which is far higher than the Ozempic dosages. Admittedly, Ozempic is used for diabetes. It's a completely different condition, and Wegovy is used for weight loss. But how on earth did they get that 2.4 milligram approval. And I'm going to be talking about that next time. I'm going to have a short break over the Christmas period, and I'll be talking about that in the new year. We'll be looking at how semaglutides and GLP-1s affect males and females differently. In the meantime, have a happy Christmas. I've mentioned quite a few different documents in this podcast today. Even though it's a relatively short podcast, there is a lot of information in it. And I've included in the show notes a link to all of those documents. So a bit of Christmas reading for you. Investigating Ozempic is written and produced by myself, Bernadette Fisher. Please see all of the show notes and disclaimers. I'll see you in the new year, in 2025.